WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:03, it's mostly sunny and 70 degrees. We look for mostly sunny skies here today, a high of 82. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you this hour by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. In a race for a seat on the Iowa legislature here in western Iowa, there was at least somewhat of a close contest Tuesday. Republican candidate Mark Siegbert, a farmer from Vail and a member of the Crawford County Board of Supervisors, edged out his GOP challengers, Matthew Beattie and Carroll Mayor Adam Schwiers, and moves on to face Democrat Mary C. Bruner in November to determine the winner of the seat for the Senate in District 6. Siegbert garnered 1,251 votes in the primary, while Schwiers had 1,077. Beattie only had 350 votes. In Senate District 10, Republican Jake Chapman beat challenger Matthew T. Martison by more than 850 votes. There is currently no Democrat slated to run against him in November. And in the race for state representative in the newly formed 22nd District, Greg Forrestal defeated his GOP challenger Clint Fichter by more than 900 votes. You can see all the election results through the Secretary of State's website, and there's a link to that on the front page of KJAN.com. More news after this.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Well, the Cass and Adair County Boards of Supervisors will hold their regular separate meetings this morning beginning at 9 o'clock. In Greenfield, the Adair County Board will act on a 28E sharing agreement with the Southern Iowa Trolley and the dissolution of a 28E agreement with SURWA, the Southern Iowa Rural Water Association. In other business, the board will receive a fiscal year 2013 case management project report from home care coordinator Jane Ernst. They'll hear from County Engineer Nick Kaufman with regard to approval of a new hire and the purchase of a brush cutter. And they'll hear from VA Administrator Donna Bittmer with regard to the perpetual care of Catholic cemeteries. And here in Atlantic, the Cass County Board of Supervisors this morning are expected to take action on signing a letter of intent to join with other counties in a 28E agreement for mental health services, as regionalization was required. Governor Terry Branstad signed legislation late last month that reforms the state's mental health system. It shakes up the current county-based format in favor of one that's based on regions. The Walnut City Council this evening will act on appointing a replacement city council member following the resignation in May of Councilman Darren Tooley. They'll also act on designating a mayor pro tem since Tooley served in that capacity as well. In other business, the council will discuss capital equipment funding, a review of the options for the codification of the city's code of ordinances, the AmVet's June Antique Show and Walk, and possible action on the use of public streets and rights of way for that event. Also, the Walnut City Council will discuss camping fees at the city park, the development of a sand volleyball court, and improvements to Fireman's Park, a law enforcement services contract with the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Department, and other matters. Their meeting begins at 5 o'clock in the council's chambers at the Walnut City Hall. The City Council in Atlantic will hold the third and final readings of two ordinances during their meeting this evening. That includes an ordinance which would reduce the speed limit on East 22nd Street from Highway 71 to Olive Street from 45 to 35 miles per hour, and an ordinance amending the city's code of ordinances by adding a chapter on urban deer control. The DNR and city officials have concluded there is currently an overpopulation of deer within the city limits of Atlantic, which poses a threat to property and public safety. The ordinance would allow bow hunting of antlerless deer with certain restrictions and conditions. In other business, the Atlantic City Council tonight will act on requests from the JCs to discharge fireworks on July the 4th at the Atlantic Municipal Airport, the First United Methodist Church to close Cedar Street between 2nd and 3rd on August 16th from 5 until 7 p.m. for a community block party, and from Dan March on behalf of the Heritage House to block the alley behind 811 Poplar Street from noon until 8 p.m. on Saturday, June 23rd, for the purpose of holding a fundraising dinner for its Good Samaritan Fund, and that is to help residents who have outlived their financial resources. The Atlantic City Council meeting begins at 5:30 in their chambers at City Hall. An Atlantic woman was arrested Monday for operating a motor vehicle while intoxicated. The Atlantic Police Department said Tuesday that 27-year-old Samantha Schroeder was taken into custody on a charge of OWI third offense. She was booked into the Cass County Jail and held pending a court appearance. And the APD said no injuries were reported following an accident Monday afternoon at 7th and Cherry Streets. Vehicles driven by Atlantic residents Danny Grover and Sarah Park collided when Park pulled out from a business entrance and in front of Grover's vehicle as he was traveling westbound on 7th. Park was cited for failure to yield upon entering a through street. Damage from that collision amounted to $5,200. A Carroll man faces a trio of charges following an accident Monday evening in Audubon County. Sheriff's official said Tuesday 54-year-old Richard Lee Wilson was charged with OWI third offense, driving while revoked, and failure to maintain control. Wilson was driving a 2000 Chevy Impala southbound on Highway 71 just north of Hamlin at around 6:30 p.m. Monday when the vehicle went out of control, crossed the road in a bike trail before coming to rest in a field. The man refused medical treatment. He was subsequently brought to the Audubon County Jail and held pending a court appearance. Damage to his car was estimated at $5,000. Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers reports the arrest Monday evening of 29-year-old Edward Dwayne Mays of Clarinda. Mays was taken into custody after officers responded to a reported domestic disturbance taking place at the Meadow Run Apartments. When they arrived shortly after 6 p.m., their investigation determined an 18-year-old female had suffered a minor injury resulting from an alleged assault, but the woman did not require or seek medical treatment. Officers noted the door on the apartment sustained about $500 damage during the altercation. Mays was arrested without incident on a felony domestic abuse assault charge and a charge of misdemeanor criminal mischief. He was booked into the Page County Jail and held without bail pending an initial appearance before the magistrate. That incident remains under investigation by the Clarinda Police Department and has been forwarded to the Page County Attorney's Office for review. And finally, in area news, Page County Sheriff Lyle Palmer said Tuesday that no injuries were reported following two separate accidents Sunday evening. 21-year-old Johnny Lee Blake of Newmarket was cited for failure to maintain control after the 1998 Ford Mustang he was driving was traveling too fast and went out of control on Highway 2 on the outskirts of Shenandoah. The accident happened as Blake was trying to turn onto Anacross Street from westbound Highway 2 at around 5:20 p.m. Sheriff Palmer said the car hit some loose gravel and sand before going into a skid. Blake overcorrected twice, sending the car into the west ditch where it hit a City of Shenandoah welcome sign. Damage to the sign amounted to $4,000. The car sustained $2,500 damage. The other accident happened around 4:30 p.m. Sunday on 270th Street near the intersection with Q Avenue, or about 2 miles west of Shambaugh. Palmer said that Cody Allen Graham of Coyne was traveling west on 270th when the 1996 Dodge Caravan he was driving went out of control, left the road to the right, and rolled over into a ditch before coming to rest on its left side. The vehicle sustained $3,000 damage. There were no citations issued. Taking a look now at world headlines, there are claims of civilian dead in a NATO raid in eastern Afghanistan. Afghan officials say the raid hit a wedding. An Associated Press photographer saw the bodies of 5 women, 7 children, and 6 men. Afghan government officials say militants were also among the dead. The U.S.-led coalition also says one of its helicopters has crashed in eastern Afghanistan, killing 2 NATO service members. A Libyan militia commander says no casualties have been reported after attackers fired a rocket-propelled grenade today at a U.S. consulate in the eastern city of Benghazi. Libya's new rulers have largely failed to impose law and order since the end of Muammar Gaddafi's rule. U.S. worker productivity fell by the largest amount in a year from January through March. The steeper drop in production than first estimated suggests companies could hire more in the coming months. The Labor Department says productivity fell at an annual rate of 0.9% in the first quarter. That's faster than the 0.5% annual decline first estimated last month. The Space Shuttle Enterprise is making the final leg of its journey to its new Manhattan home. The prototype space shuttle will travel up the Hudson River, first passing the Statue of Liberty and the World Trade Center site before being hoisted by crane onto the flight deck of the Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum. News time is 8:12.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And in our funeral announcements, Robert Bob Eugene Griffin of Menlo died Saturday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Funeral mass for Bob Griffin will be held tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. James R. Perkins, age 51, of Rembrandt, died Sunday at the Bryan Lincoln General Hospital in Lincoln, Nebraska. Funeral services for James Perkins will be Thursday at 10:30 at the Ebenezer Lutheran Church west of Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Raleigh Ackerman, age 97, who's formerly of the Atlantic and Griswold areas, died November 14th in Idaho. Memorial services for Raleigh Ackerman will be held Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Carol Jr. Washburn, age 81, of Guthrie Center, died January 4th in Texas. Memorial services with full military honors for Carol Washburn will be held on June the 14th at 11 a.m. at the Union Cemetery in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. And Delbert Gaines, age 74, of Omaha and formerly of Atlantic, died Monday at Bergen Mercy Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for Delbert Gaines will be held June the 30th at 11 a.m. at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. That's a check of the news brought to you by First National Bank with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Henson reporting.